come against the confusion that's happening in this church this morning in Jesus' name. And we take authority over that. We speak that we walk in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings no confusion, no disruption, and we allow you here. Welcome to Pentecost Sunday. We're going to talk this morning about corporate worship in Christ Church and how it brings strength and unity. And the reason this came up is from doing the discipleship program with Elaine and doing that teaching. And some of this stuff, I'm like, wow, God, this is good. And then Wendell, of course, preaches about the kingdom. And it's like, oh, Wendell, that's so good. And some of the other stuff. And it just is like, yeah, God, this is all part of it. And so this is such a great thing. So I wanted to share, not sharing all of it, but some of the highlights out of this course. It's from the lesson 7 in the level 2. So when you become doing discipling someone, you'll know what it is. It says in Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner is some, but exhorting one another so much more as we see the day approaching. And they asked the question, what is church? Remember that when you hear that today. It says, you know, the Bible says that the Lord added to the church daily as such he should be saved. Now this is, and I want you to remember that. He adds daily to the church. But then when he did a study on the word of church. And in our North American thing, we consider church to be this building, but that's not church. And so it's a building. The word church is ecclesia, and it literally means an assembly. People together for the purpose of worship or prayer or praise, just looking unto God. It says ecclesia in the New Testament can encompass any number of believers. It can be used of small groups that meet in homes, from Romans 16:5. I have papers of scriptures down there somewhere, but they're just the addresses, so you can have them later. It encompasses all believers living in a large city, that's Acts 11:22, or a large geographic distance, such as like our country or our province, Asia or Galatia. But we can do Alberta and Saskatchewan, even maybe Ottawa. The typical meeting of church was in home, when such a congregation met everyone, (brackets), had a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. We get that from 1 Corinthians 14:26. The individual shared and others weighed carefully what was said or had an interpretation. And that's the same in Corinthians. Such sharing remained essential to every existence of the church as a community of faith. Each person was expected to contribute to serve others with his or her gift, spiritual gifts. Hebrews 10:25 says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as the day approaches. The church is an assembly of people coming together for the purpose of looking to Jesus, praising the Lord, to receive direction from the Lord, to follow through with direction, and the primary purpose in the New Testament church was edification. They met together for the purpose of building up each other's faith. So you coming here, you just coming here this morning, builds up my faith and your faith, and it's touching. We make a difference. Something's wonky with my microphone now. I have an echo. I have an echo back here. The early church was an evangelistic church. So is our church. We're an evangelistic church. But people were scattered everywhere sharing their faith in Jesus Christ. And as they did, the Lord added to the church, not to the building, but added to the people of God as they repented and believed. They then assembled themselves together to encourage one another, to exercise their spiritual gifts, to serve one another, to have times of fellowship with one another, sharing meals and being together. They exercised their spiritual gifts, and then they went out They came together as that group, filled each other up, and then went out to minister each time, each day, and ministering and bringing, and that's where the adding to the saints came in the New Testament church. So scripture tells us as the day approaches and sin abounds, the grace of God abounds much more. And we're standing on that promise. Grace is going to abound within these assemblies of God, in the church that every believer has a part to the ministry of Jesus Christ. You can minister to one another, exhort one another, encourage one another as you exercise your spiritual gifts. It's good to meet together to use those gifts. When we receive salvation, God put us in the body of Christ, the universal body of believers. We need one another, and we need to meet together as God's church to encourage one another, serve one another with the spiritual gifts that God has given us. So I encourage you, meet together today with God's people. It's a pretty good program we're sharing with them, isn't it? But when we did this lesson, when I did this lesson with Elaine, and I was sharing with her, and it's like, yeah, that's so true. Like, we do have those special, we have Sunday morning, but we have church going on in our body of Christ with our home groups, with the kitchen, the pantry cupboard downstairs, even when you're just with women. And I remember such a sweet time, reminded me of a GLOW we used to have prayer, ladies' prayer times, and it was just ladies. It's not that men weren't important, but it was women's at GLOW. We're ministering to each other. And we would meet together, and we'd be in someone's, usually the house that we were in was the mom with kids, because it was easier to go to her than for her to go everywhere else. And so we would be there, and we would sing together, and we'd pray, and we'd lay hands on each other. We'd have a word of encouragement. And we did those sweet things. If anyone had an issue, we did it. If someone didn't have, we knew who was struggling. We knew who was struggling in the women, because we knew who had someone in the hospital, who had someone pass away. Those things just came because we were a part of each other. That fellowship and what we were doing. And I got to say, I missed that time. I missed those things. I think those women things are important, as much as I think the men things are important too, because there's stuff that a wife doesn't fix, or other people. You need to build each other. Not that we're least important, but really, our teenagers, our men, our women, our seniors, our young moms. The enemy is attacking us all with the same deceptive lies, but they all affect us differently. And sometimes we just need to stand in the gap for each other and do that. There's so many scriptures in the world, in the Word, that remind us about being together. And I didn't write the addresses down, but you know them. It's like, where two or three are gathered, he's in our midst. He inhabits the praises of the people. We need to remember the power and the unity. Our worship can be seen as a weapon that disarms our enemies, building unity, strength, and strengthening each other. Spiritual warfare. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I want to show you how the enemy disrupted, how worship disrupted the enemy. If you want to turn there, if I got the right, that's not the right one. Chronicles is a little farther back. Okay, and I'm not going to do all of it, but this is, it's Jehoshaphat's reign, and it's what's going on. And so in the beginning of that chapter, we read how the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some Menunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom and the other sides of the Dead Sea. And this alarmed Jehoshaphat, and he inquired to the Lord. And then, of course, he inquired to the Lord and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of nations. Power and might are in your hands, and no one can stand without you. So he acknowledged He acknowledged his need for God right away, because it's like, I got three enemies coming against me. And the things were there. And then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehazel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benhai, and the son of Jalai, and he's the son of everybody. And he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judea and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them, and they will climb. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find at the end of the gorge of the desert and Jurel, you will not have to fight this battle. Take on your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judea and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. And so Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground with all the people, and they fell down to worship the Lord. Then some Levites from Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert. Listen to me, Judea and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, and the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judea, and they were defeated. And the Ammonites and Moabites rose up against their own men and each other, and they destroyed each other and were annihilated. After the slaughter was finished, they were all destroyed. And all the people had to do was sing praises to God. And God did it. So our worship, the words of our mouth, are so, so important. So, so important. There's in the Greek, there's a word that's, I don't know, of course, Ted and Crystal are Greek scholars, aren't here, but I'm going to say it as pushkinu, and it means blow a kiss, and it's often translated in the New Testament as worshiping and bow down. But when I was thinking about that worship, I thought, how delighted are we when a little child, when those babies just blow that kiss to grandpa or to someone, and I thought, oh Lord, how delighted you are when we worship, when we blow that kiss. And so like the pro of that word is toward. We're pushing it toward Father God and blowing that kiss. And that's part of what I want us to do this morning. This is the very Pentecost day. The Holy Spirit came to live. Think about that. 2,000 years later, we are still celebrating Holy Spirit coming. It's so awesome. There are over 200 worship songs in the Bible, starting with Exodus. Exodus, that's right, Moses' song. The very first ones that are actually recorded are the songs of Moses. In Exodus chapter 15, 2 to 18, and then Miriam's song is in 21. And you all know this one. I will sing unto the Lord, for he is highly exalted. But both horse and rider he hurled into the sea. See, we sing those same songs, right? The horse and the rider fell into the sea. And then the last song, this is the song that we're a part of singing. And it's in Revelations, and it's chapter 15, verse 3-4. And this is so good. They held harps given them by God. Gave them musical instruments. Do you hear that? Harps given by God. And they sang the song of God's servants, Moses, and of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are the deeds, Lord, your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nation. Who will not fear you, Lord? We'll bring glory to your name. or bring glory to your name. Jesus also worshiped. We sometimes don't even think about, we focus so much on what he did for us on the cross, which is more powerful than anything. But we forget that he was man, he was a Jew, and he worshiped Father God. He did those things the same as you and I do. And it actually, and Jesus, we know he sings. We know he sang. In Mark 26 and 30 and Matthew 14, 26, it's where they're finishing the Passover meal. There's actually eight out of the Psalms. Their Passover hymns, that's what they call them, Passover hymns, that they sing. And they actually do them for most of the festivals. So as they're celebrating Passover, they would have sang these scriptures. And the last scripture, the last song of that block is Psalms 118. So this is at least the last known scripture that they would have shared. And when they're doing that, they would be singing, they would be quoting, they would be dancing, there would be celebrations and shouting because they're people, right? So it would be not solemn. But I'm going to just, if you turn to that, that's fine, but I'm just going to read this one. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord, and he brought me into the spacious place. Lord is with me. I'll not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. Remember, Jesus is singing this with his disciples. He's singing this very thing. I cry, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? It's like, oh my gosh, Lord. Like, that's incredible. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans, I think. All the nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surrender me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They swarm around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shout of joys and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high, and the Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which righteousness may enter. I will give you thanks for you answered me, and you have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become this cornerstone. The Lord has done this. It is marvelous in your eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For the house of the Lord be blessed. We bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in our hand, join in the festival procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Sweet, sweet words. Sweet, sweet words. And the Jews are still singing these words. We often don't remember that these are part of their sacraments, these scriptures, and they do psalms, and so they're, even in today, they're singing the same scripture, and it's like they don't even know that they're singing about their Messiah and how great their God is and our deliverance, that he became the cornerstone. It was laid. So it's just so incredible to see the goodness of God and the feast. They call those scriptures the Hallel ones. I want to just look a little bit more into the corporate worship, because now that we know it's important, because Jesus did corporate worship with those men and with all of Jerusalem. And we know in Passover, we know that all the Jews had come together from all over, because they come for every feast to Jerusalem. Like for Pentecost Sunday, they were all there because it's, what is it, Shavuot, I think, is that celebration at that time. We celebrate Pentecost. The Jews celebrate the giving of the Torah and these very songs that we're singing, So in corporate worship, when we're in a body, it's, I don't know, for most of us, it's really easy to worship on your own. Like, how many of you get in the car and you're all singing that little hymn, driving down the road, or singing that favorite song? You're cooking in the kitchen or doing something, and that song just comes. You wake up in the morning, the song comes. Corporate worship becomes a little bit different when we become conscious of other people around us and what they might think. It's like, she's kind of a weird woman, isn't she? It's like, you know, like those kind of things. And so it's like, but again, that's the deception of the enemy, trying to ruin what God has, because we know that he uses everybody. Doesn't matter to him. He can change every heart. So when we come together, we really need to make a choice to lift up our hearts and our voice when we're together. And remember, we focus mostly on Sunday, but it's every part. And we want to be gathered. Every time we're with believers, we want to remember that we're in a place that's worship. We're together to do that. What makes it so powerful is that we're actually sharing our faith with each other, because God did good thing, right? And people are, it's the word of our testimony. Like, what great thing did God do? That, and then when we speak that forth, that's giving thanks to God and worshiping. And it's important to glorify God. The main purpose of corporate worship, of course, is to glorify God. As we gather, we lift up the name of Jesus together and magnifying his presence. And it's really in a way that just one person can't do. If you've been to a huge, like, we're seeing that. You're seeing, how come these kids at these concerts are all going wild? It's because they are all worshiping at the same time. Even the kids that don't know what's going on, they know something's happening because the presence of God is there. Even though the presence of God is always in us, there's a different feel when we lift up the name of Jesus. Remember, we used to always say, I don't know the scripture, but when we lift him up, all men are drawn to him. So even if you're not a believer, we're lifting up God and drawing unbelievers into that. Coming together in worship strengthens the church. It makes us be a part of a larger community, because no man's an island, right? We need to be together. We need to have that support. And we can challenge each other to go deeper. We want to go deeper in our walk with a God. We're also a public testimony. When we're coming every Sunday to this meeting, we're a testimony to this neighborhood. It's like, well, there's something different about those people because they come here. They come here every Sunday and they come to worship. And so we become a testimony. In the Bible, corporate worship is not just about gathering for the sake of ritual. It's a collective expression of love, devotion, and faith that unites believers under one purpose, and that's to glorify God. Our whole purpose of coming here today was to glorify our God. Scripture consistently highlights that strength, joy, and spiritual growth come from worshiping together as a community of believers. In the Old Testament, of course, they did corporate worship in Jerusalem and did all of those things, and then the temples, and we see all of those things happening. They used the Psalms and filled the air with that music. But there's a scripture tells us to worship together. in Psalm 95, 6 and 7, it says, "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." In Colossians 3, 16, it says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Sing to God with gratitude in your heart." Another one is Ephesians 5, 19. "Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord." Sing and make music. Our music, our singing is music to God's ear. You know, I had I'm on a worship team, and I've been on a worship team probably all my life that I was in church at some point doing it. It has nothing to do with me singing. I can't sing worth a darn if you want to know. I have hearing aids. So I couldn't tell you if that was an A, B, or a C that they played. I have no idea. But I know that the Lord said, "Sing praises to me." He gave me this voice. My voice delights the Lord. Might scratch the heck out of your ears, but he is just delighted to hear me sing. And the same with all of you. It's like he called me to sing, to speak forth his praises, and this is the voice he wanted, so it must sound sweet to him. And then actually in those countries, those Hertz things that they play that music in, it's like, it's kind of sharp, so he must like that kind of music. So, and then I think corporate worship isn't just about us singing and listening to the songs, but it's being participating with the encounter with God. We need to edify each other. That's where we pray for each other. We need to be reminded we're not alone on the journey. A few weeks ago, Crystal had what she was sharing, and some of the questions on their thing. One of the questions was, who would you go to if you needed prayer? Who's your prayer partner? And so we didn't all jump in with an answer when we over-discussed it in our home group. But it's true. It's like, who are you comfortable to go to prayer? And I remember sharing with Elaine, I said, these never hesitate, Doris and Shirley and Ruth and Doreen, any of the women in our church, Betty, like whoever, if you're a female in this church, there's a pretty good chance that you're not going to stumble asking them for help to pray for you. And then the men are there too, but we try to encourage women to seek women, and the men can come alongside the women and vice versa. Just because of matter protocol, and it keeps people from going and being tempted in wrong directions. And so there's wisdom. So we try to do those things in wisdom, but we have so many, and it's so good for us to be able to do that. So we know we all have a personal relationship with God, and we can incorporate. We have our prayer and our alone time and our scriptures, and the more we do it, the better we are with our relationship with God. There was a quote that said, he said, "Our worship to God is like a mirror. It shows us the reflection of what's in our heart." And I thought, wow, that's good. And don't even ask me who the man was who said that. I wrote it down, and that was all I remembered. Because it's like, yeah, my worship and whatever I'm doing is a reflection of that, what's going on in my heart. And so that's just so good. We know that worship is, there's more areas for us to worship besides praying and singing and having songs and interpretations. But we're going to talk about those in the fall, about the acts of worship that we do. But this is corporate worship. What do we do when we're here together? So I just want to remind us that we are part of a great family of believers that goes far beyond these doors, all into the world. We're not alone. Help us to realize that our faith isn't meant to be practiced in isolation. We're called to worship and serve God alongside one another. There's no lone rangers. They're all of us. We encourage one another, we build up our faith, and we experience power in our community. We come to church service, prayer meetings, worship nights, special services, unity, expressing community expressions, the things we're doing in the community, encouraging, all of it is part of our worship and part of God's story. So we want to continue to do those kind of things. Remember when I said that the reflection of our worship is in our heart? We need to not worry if when I said that you were like, uh-oh, you didn't like what you saw in the mirror, right? But in Colossians 3:1-4, it says, since you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on the things that are above, not on the earthly things. Because the more you know, the more you and God know more, the more you are with God and know him, is the more that you'll grow in love. And you'll change that reflection in the mirror. So today I want to take us out of our comfort zone. It's taking me out of my comfort zone. Because it's Pentecost Sunday, we want to invite the Holy Spirit here. We wanted to be able to sing a new song. It said, and I wrote some of those scriptures on those papers. You can look them up yourself. But sing a new song to the Lord and praise his name. Not to be afraid to speak out. Most of us here have a prayer language, but you can turn that into a song. You know, when you're singing, these psalms are incredible to just sing. And you can make up your own words and voices. Because we know the church came together like that. But it's really kind of neat. Before we do that, and I have a new song for us, but it's an old song. This song they found in Ocralinchuk's Egypt. In 1918, they dug up in the sand a papyrus that had actually written a song. The Egyptian, it's written in Egyptian, and it's a song to the Lord. And they actually made a documentary about it, and Chris Tomlin and Ben Fielding and one of the scholars from the Egyptian history thing, they put this to today's. So this song that we're going to share this morning is songs that it was about 275 years. So they were really, the church wasn't very old. It was before buildings. And this is the song. These are the words. Let all be silent. The shining stars, no sound forth. All rushing rivers stilled. As we sing our hymn to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As all powers cry out in answer, Amen, Amen. Might, praise, and glory forever to our God, the only giver of gifts. Amen and Amen. Our brothers, they're all in heaven waiting for us. They were singing these songs to the Lord. So I just want us to not be comfortable this morning. And if you're really comfortable singing in the Spirit, oh, thank you. You teach us, right? So that we all get that comfort too. But just to spend that time, you know, we worship so little. And sometimes when you're up here, it becomes really disheartening looking out. When you're trying to bring people forward. Because it's like, this isn't, when we're singing up here, it's not entertainment. Trust me, nobody would pay for us. They're not coming to this concert. This is about leading you to worship God, to hear from him, to worship and give him glory. Our God is worthy of every breath. He is every breath. Every breath, even my breath, the way they say it, says Yahweh in my breathing. I praise his name with every breath I have. And so we need to do that together. And we need to be open, tuning our ears because when we're singing to God and speaking to God and blowing our kisses to Father God, that's why our arms are up and we wave. And don't worry about the extra wave. It just glorifies God. It's just that much glory. Much, much more glory as we age, right? It doesn't matter. We're glorifying God. Our feet to dancing. Some of that music, well, I'm terrible because I am not still. Most of my life, I'm not very still. I'm either in a rocking chair or fidgeting or doing something. And so, you know, to be just still is harder for me. But we want to see people dancing. If you wouldn't need to twirl your scarf, twirl your scarf. If you need to play the tambourine, well, hopefully you do it better than I do. But there's so many things. We don't want to discourage each other. We want to be open. If you have an interpretation, if you have a word for someone, through that time of worship, many people have been healed just by praising God. No one prayed for them. Many people have been saved because of the very presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. They're like, wow. We've had lots of people come in this place and they're like, whoa. It was like walked into that wall because the Holy Spirit was here. Stuff was going on. That needs to be the norm. Holy Spirit here. So if you're able to stand. This is only a 4-minute song. I didn't make it. I found a shorter one. But we're going to listen to that. But when it ends, because they'll do the amen, that's when I want you to do your worship. You to start singing. Make your new song. And don't worry about the people next to you. And don't worry if you're a little, we're always going to have people in our congregation that are a little louder in their prayer than others. But it's okay, whatever. But the key is, it's your voice. So it's not in your head, it's out of your mouth. Because that's where the power is, when it's coming out of your mouth, just not in your head. So Chris, if you could try to make that work. And the words are there, so once they kind of sing it, you'll be able to sing along with it too. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that we are free in this country to praise you, to bring you glory. Lord, we just honor your name. We worship you. You are the only one who deserves our worship. And we just give you praise and glory and honor. We thank you. We thank you that you're with us every step of the way, that you said you guide us, you teach us, and you never leave or forsake us. And we just embrace you. Lord, we just blow those sweet kisses of adoration to you, because you are the mighty God. You are the mighty God. Thank you, Jesus, for sending your Spirit to be with us. We just glorify your name. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we just continue to claim that. Continue to claim that, Lord. Thank you that you multiply to your church daily, that we are able to speak forth the truth of your word and your goodness. Lord, that we are able to show the goodness of God in this land of the living. Thank you. It's because of you in us. We just praise you and glorify your name. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being a part of our Sunday school. Just so you know, there's a few more parts to this whole thing that will start in the fall. This is our last Sunday school till fall. So we'll talk about other parts of worship that we're doing. And when we were singing and praising, you know, I had that picture of myself when I was a child. And you know, I've always known the Lord. Always. Even though I made a commitment when I was 10, I still knew because I'd been in church and did that, and you didn't know to make a commitment. And then I backslid for many years, but I've always known God. But I saw that picture of me running up the stairs, the basement stairs, singing Jesus Loves Me or whatever the song was, because, you know, because it was a scary place to go in that basement. And so then if you were down in that basement, and if you were singing, somehow if you were singing those praise songs, the devil wasn't getting you. And I thought, oh, it's still true today. Like, so in those times when you're, you know, anxious and fearful, just praise God and trust him. And he just works it out. Like Elaine said all morning, it'll be all right. It'll all be right because Jesus makes it right. So thank you.